Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Cave Show of BLR. This is BLR. It is Monday, the 12th of July, and we are here with a loaded show today. It is absolutely insane. We have wrap-up of Game 3 of the NBA Finals. Like I said, no surprise of the final score. A little bit surprised of the final score. Scott Foster game, won't even get into that. But so much other stuff to get into as well. Conor McGregor got his ass kicked. Bringing back an old voice that knows MMA for this. My man, intern Ryan, will be joining us today. So I can't wait. It's been forever since he's been on, but we're going to talk a little bit of MMA. And, of course, MLB All-Star Week, or rather All-Star Days. We got the Home Run Derby tonight. I will tell you who I'm going to pick to win the All-Star game. Let me guess, who's going to be the MVP? Don't know, but we know who's setting up to be it. Shohei Ohtani, the bat leadoff, going to start off by pitching, going to sell tickets, fly people to and from the game. So we will get into that as well. And the Olympic team? Really? Oh, yeah. And we leave politics and racism out of sports. Go tell that to the people in England. All the stuff we'll touch on today. Right here on the Cave Show with PLR, like I said, this is PLR. We're brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located locally in Chandler, Arizona, 4991 South. All Muskool, get down there, check them out. Let them know that PLR sent you 10% off of your cigar purchase. Become a member, get you access to the Members Lounge. If you don't become a member, there is no worries. You can also have plenty of places to sit down, relax, watch all the games as they have all the league passes. They do serve beer and wine, so definitely go down and check them out. If you can't make it, no worries. Just go to Stogie World, StogieWorld.com. Order your sticks early enough. They will ship out the exact same day. All this happens at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. All right, everyone, let's jump right into this. I'll give out the call-in number, 917-889-7828. 917-889-7828. You have any questions, have any topics, everything you want to get into? Let's open up the phone lines for about five minutes or so. Can't wait to hear your thoughts on this weekend. Oh, also, the good guys go into the All-Star break on a winning streak. And yes, the good guys are the White Sox, and even the Diamondbacks have gone 50-50 in their last six, going 3-up, 3-down. So maybe, no, I won't even entertain that craziness. Call in number 917-889-7828. Call on hold. Thanks for your patience. Go show a PLR.
A little hard to get excited about the Diamondbacks right now. No offense. But, you know, I mean, still they're the worst in the league. So we can't be too excited about that.
Hey, I'm just excited that they didn't lose six in a row.
Well, it's better. Well, of course, better than losing six in a row. You're right.
Take it where you get it. Take it where you can get it.
Yes, I know. And, of course, well, thought it'd be a sweep, but somehow the Bucks came back roaring and showed it a big way. Okay, so I was
Are you really surprised? Did you really think there was going to be a sweep?
Well, I shouldn't be. I mean, I guess the Greek Freak had something playing up his sleeve. So I guess I shouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm not at all. In fact, I picked six originally, so it's between six and seven. So I expected the Suns to lose a couple. I definitely expect them to. I said it when I signed off Friday, I would not be surprised if they lost game three. You're going back home. If you can't show up for that game, it's really going to be hard for you. Then you deserve to get swept. So
yes,
the Bucks have been very good at game three. And on the other side, outside of the Denver series, if we're being honest, the Suns have not been so great in game threes. So things kind of lived up to the way that they, I think, the way that I expected them to.
Well, I guess I was thinking because, you know, the Suns have been, you know, very dominant. You would think maybe a sweep would happen. But then again, you know, the Bucks on their home court, they are dangerous at home. So I guess we got to give them a little credit for that.
As we like to say, those guys are getting a check too.
Yes, they are. But my biggest thrill of the day was Italy beating England in Euro Cup in the shootout. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, I mean,
yes,
I actually watched it. No. I didn't have a dog in the race. So, I mean, either way, it was good for me. What I did not like, though, was all the ridiculous racism after the game.
Oh, that was annoying, of course.
You know,
there's no place for it in the sports world.
Congratulations to Italy.
Yes.
Well deserved. It's just that turned a real crazy eye to everything. You know what I mean? It took the success of what Italy did, and it just placed it in a bad spot.
Mm-hmm. I mean, considering that we almost didn't even make it this far because, but it wasn't for a penalty, it wasn't for, you know, a goal being called back in a previous game, Italy might not have been in the final. But they made it, and they beat England in the shootouts.
Yeah. Yeah, and like I said, it's incredible between that and Copa and everything else that's going on. Now we're getting ready for Olympic soccer. I think, like I said, all that stuff is fantastic. And it's amazing how we have these athletes out here consistently busting their asses over and over again. And something goes wrong, and that's what we get. I just think it's – and it didn't even go wrong. Let me say that. Another team just outperformed.
Yeah.
So
– yeah, but at least there's one. That's my homeland. So,
yeah. Oh no, and good time, good for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know,
I called a friend of mine after the result happened. Like,
yeah, that's cool.
I had a diet though. Yeah. And for the record, the first Olympic events start on next Tuesday, not next Friday. So keep that. So just to give you a heads up on that. I know you're thinking,
no,
that's crazy. It's happening.
No, that's before the before the ceremony, too, isn't it?
That's right. That's what I meant. That's what I said.
Yeah. Why?
Nothing new. Nothing new, though. It's been going on for years. I don't know why they do that, but they've been doing this since, I think, the 92 or 96 Olympics. And the Winter Olympics have been doing that since 84. So it's nothing new.
Here's what I think is funny. Some of the people, like, as soon as they're done, like, I wonder for the event that they're in, some people may be sent home before the actual opening ceremonies happen.
I'm afraid of that.
Because in the tournament games, no. So what events are happening next week before?
Well, like, they'll have this, like, the team tournament sports, like the 3-on-3 basketball, the women's and men's soccer and the softball, they're going to start, you know, a few days before the ceremony. Those are tournament games, and they want to get those in earlier.
All right, cool. I just think it would be funny if someone got eliminated, and they didn't even get to see the opening ceremony. It's like, no, you're done. Really? How the hell did we
Not in tournament games, because they'll play at least three games, and it won't be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Means you got to get out of here by Friday. No, they'll spread that out. So they'll all be in the opening ceremony.
Wouldn't
Nobody
that be awesome,
come
though?
That quick, buddy.
Wouldn't that be awesome, though?
No, it'd be pretty sad.
I could see that now. Hey, how were the opening ceremonies? Don't know. Didn't see it. Why didn't you see it?
No, we got kicked out because we lost.
Yeah, got eliminated. How'd you get eliminated? Tournament didn't even start.
Yeah.
Didn't even start. Oh, yeah, it started.
Yeah, we bombed out early, so we have to go home.
That is hilarious. That is truly hilarious.
Yeah.
So, no, that's awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah, so next Tuesday we start.
Are you ready?
Are you kidding? I've been waiting for this.
So
this is what
should
bring us all together instead of tearing us apart.
Well, I hope so. Sometimes, unfortunately, we get even worse with the nationalism than is necessary. What sport are you?
There's no place for that.
What sport are you looking forward to the most? Let me take this out. Let me rephrase that. Outside of the stuff like track and field and basketball
track and field.
Or volleyball, the stuff that really gets us all going, which is kind of
boxing.
Easy. You know what I mean? Is take that out too.
Swimming or boxing?
You're still on the swimming. I'll give you. I try to get away from this always see. You know what I mean? Like in the wintertime, I like curling. I'm not going to watch curling. No, stop and think about it. Do you watch curling?
No.
Okay. But in the Olympics, I want to know. I like watching it.
In the Olympics, for me, it's you know, the snow events like skiing, the bobsled. So you know, I go for that.
Bobsled's big time.
Or
no, someone
called
bobsled. There you go. This is a kid show.
Yeah, I know. I took it from that. In your case, bobsled.
No.
In the 70s, you know.
I get you. See, those are the games that I'm talking about. Those are the things that I like. You know what I like watching? The walk, the race walk. The guys that are walking so fast, trying not to run. You know, that crap is hilarious. Hilarious.
I don't know about hilarious, but I see a reason for it.
Yeah, and then cycling. When they're coming around the curve, and you hear that, boom, 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 that is awesome. Same as like the bobsled, when they take that turn, and you're boop, 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 boop. That is great.
Yeah, just watch out for spectators, though, because you never know what they're going to try and do, you know, because, like, with that person that caused, a disruption in the Tour de France last week. We don't want another one of those.
Well, there'll be no one standing out there with the sign. But when they come around that turn going super fast, and the guy looks like his seat is too high for him on the bike, but it's incredible. And do you know who's competing for a gold medal, by the way, in the equestrian?
You?
No, in equestrian?
No.
You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Born in the USA, the boss, Bruce Springsteen's daughter, is competing for a gold.
That's right. That's what it was about. I'm trying to think. The boss's daughter, what's she going to do with that? Now I get it. Now I get the story behind the boss's daughter with the audience. Now I understand it. So she's got to be an equestrian, huh? How about that?
Yep. So see, this is what I'm saying. This is the stuff I like to see. And I know you're going to want to watch skateboarding. What do you want to watch skateboarding?
Skateboarding, probably not. Surfing, maybe. But skateboarding, eh.
And
maybe surfing.
You may call it ping pong, but I call it
table tennis.
Those cats are like 5 feet away from the table, and they're killing it like 80 miles per hour. See, this is the crap I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And it may be boring, but weightlifting is incredible.
Painful. I'll tell you that right now.
Yes. So this is the stuff
it's painful to watch.
Yeah. There's always some guy yelling, yeah. It's great.
Yeah.
It's great. But,
oh, I'm not going to be able to perform my wife tonight.
I catch you tomorrow.
I had to do it.
I'm definitely going to say it. All right, my friend.
Thank you. I'll be
here for me tomorrow. Yes, sir.
I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Take care, buddy. All right, buddy. And the Summer Olympics are great. Great. I don't want to watch. I wouldn't normally watch synchronized swimming, but I'll watch it in the Olympics because it's fun. It is actually fun. Yes, I'm actually saying that. And the cycling is great. See, it's easy to pick boxing and basketball and tennis and soccer. That's easy. That's the crap we enjoy every single day. I like the stuff that we do not enjoy every day. Table tennis. Ping pong is a blast. These cats are like 8 feet behind the table. It is incredible. The most painful thing, my man Lou was saying, weightlifting. The triathlon is insane. First you got to swim, and then you run, and then you run, then you swim, and then I don't even remember all three of them. That's a decathlon. It's one of them. This stuff is insane. I cannot wait. Either way, I cannot wait for the Olympics to start. Now, some of this crap you can keep. Some of this crap you just ain't going to get me down with. And I'm not going to say it, but some of this crap you can't get me down with. I'll tell you what's fun, though. Rowing. There's 14 gold medals that's going to be given away in rowing. Rowing is fun. Can't wait for this. Track and field, like I said, too easy, but I can't wait to see who's the fastest. We'll be talking about Olympics as we get even closer to it. Now I'm all geeked. Now I'm all hyped, and I'm ready. We'll come back, talk Phoenix Suns, Milwaukee Bucks, NBA Finals, right here on the Cave Show with PLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend and I said, "Hey, shut up. Because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR.
Welcome back to The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Thank you for joining me this Monday, July 12th, day after the Game 3 massacre. Phoenix Suns just got their butts tore off. That's okay. It happens. But I thank you for joining me here today. Make sure you're checking us out every day at the same time, 1 o'clock, Monday through Friday. You found us however you found us. I appreciate you. You also can find us very easily at thesportsmedia.com. Cave is with the K. Hit that listen live button, sends you right to the on-air live radio station. Definitely check us out. If you missed the show, And you hit that listen live button any other time, we'll route you to all of our shows. So feel free to dive in there and check them out. Also, we're on iHeartRadio, Spotify. The Cave Show is brought to you by thesportscave.com. So definitely feel free to check us out. Phoenix Suns last night got their butts handed to them. Not surprised. If there's a game, I honestly thought they would lose. It would be game three. There's so many reasons why they would lose that game as opposed to some of the other games. First and foremost, Milwaukee, the Bucks, they get paid too. They're not going to come home and just have their ass served up to them and play without heart, play without meaning, play without aggression, play definitely to keep their season alive, because make no mistake, if they had lost game three, this series is officially over. The Suns would have taken their heart. Giannis played well, did a lot of things. People moved. They got in positions for him. It wasn't just stand still and watch the Giannis show. So a lot of good things happened for the Bucks because they actually made some adjustments. Guys actually moved. Even if you missed a shot or two, they still stuck with you, and you made those shots later. And that's what you have to be able to do. Have to be. Drew Holiday came alive. Middleton came alive. Everyone came alive and did what they were expected to do. Can they continue it? Can they keep it going? Will the Suns play better? Devin Booker, 3 of 13, 10 points. And let me clear this nonsense. Monty didn't touch it yesterday in his at all in his postgame. But there are people out here saying, oh, Monty benched Devin in the fourth quarter. He did not bench Devin in the fourth quarter. If you watch, see, this is where it gets frustrating. Because if you watch the Phoenix Suns all year, you kind of get a taste of their rotation or when things happen, what they do. It's very simple to see. Very simple to see. Booker's out of the game. Goes out, minute or two left in the third quarter. Suns are already getting their ass kicked. They're getting their ass kicked. It's obvious that Monty said, okay, let's see if the group I have in now can make a run. If they make a run, you know he's going back to book. They never made the run. It's like when DeAndre picked up foul number four, you're like, where they are, you just going to run with it? He did. He took him out. And I don't want to say they waved the white flag early, but there are times in the game where you can just see and you can just know this isn't it for us. Right now, just isn't happening. So as a coach, you have to make up your mind, do I keep wasting energy? Am I going to keep banging my guys out, tiring them out, wasting legs when I can see it's just not happening? So why bring Devin back? I don't want to hear that ridiculous nonsense. Well, sometimes you find something that works, or you'll see the ball go through the bucket and it'll carry over to the next game. Well, no. Devin saw the ball go through the bucket a lot in Phoenix. There's nothing that's really going to change. He was off. CP was off. Mikal was off. The only person who had it going early was DeAndre, and he got in foul trouble. As I said earlier, the Suns in game three, for whatever reason, don't always seem to match the force. And they didn't, and then you couple that with the fact that they just didn't hit shots. If you don't hit shots, it doesn't work. So you couple not hitting shots with playing with aggression or lack thereof.
I mean, there's a lot of ways you can spin it, but they they play with a great deal of aggression for longer stretches than we did. And we knew it was coming. We did not respond to it well tonight, especially in the second and third quarters. And the turnovers certainly hurt us, points in the paint, everything we've been talking about the whole series. So it was a tough lesson for us to learn. You know what was coming, but just didn't do enough consistently to withstand their attacking the paint, whether it was penetration, offensive rebounding, and then we gave them so many possessions. So we lost a shot. And then they scored off of it, so it was a double whammy.
He continued.
The game, you know, the kind of force we have to play with, just normal stuff. You know, this is one of those games that you typically, in NBA speak, say flush it, you know, that, but you can't. In the finals, we got to watch the film and learn and, you know, get back to playing our kind of basketball consistently. We saw it in spurts. We just didn't have enough of it tonight to hold them off and you know, maintain any level of consistency. Usually when we play with a great deal of force and edge, the consistency follows. We just weren't consistent with that tonight.
And true. And listen, not even when there was foul trouble. Not at any point. There was no panic. He's giving an interview. He's not panicking. He's telling you what they didn't do and what they have to do. Talk about
it does. I mean, but that's going to happen. I'm not going to get into the complaining publicly about fouls. Just not going to do that. But you can look, you know, we had 16 free throws tonight. One person had 17. So, you know, DA is, we got to learn from that. We got to beat guys to the spot. And he'll grow from this. I promise you he will.
You know what? I'm not going to get into fouls. I'm not going to do it. Even though they shot six, we shot 16, and they had one guy shoot 17. But I'm not going to get into that. I could, but I'm not. I'm not even going to bring that up. I'm going to let that slide. That is great. That is classic. That's Kenny Williams. That's him channeling his inner Kenny Williams. I'm not even going to talk about the money that we loaned him. Only thing I got to say is stay out of White Sox business. Listen, let me tell you something. You knew it was going to be some bull when Scott Foster was named the referee. You knew it. There's no surprise. There was no surprise. I'm not even going to get into it. I'm not. Because I do not believe the NBA fixes games. I do not. I just believe we are all human. And I'll leave it at that. That's the best thing I can say. Because I don't want to take anything away from the Bucks and what they did, because they performed tonight. They performed, or last night. They performed admirably last night. Giannis and his friends didn't hit shots at all. Book talked about his performance.
It wasn't well, obviously. But, you know, there's nights like that, and, you know, the most important part to me is winning the game, and we didn't do that. So, you know, I'm more frustrated about that. But we have a few days off here. We're going to get back right. We're going to go over film and be ready Wednesday.
And that's really all you can do. What did Martin say? Games like this, you want to flush, but you can't because it's the playoffs. You can't. And a big part of it, things changed when DA got in foul trouble. It did. CP3 talked about a bunch of things, and I kind of marry some of this together.
I don't know. I think we got to go back and look at the film. Obviously, they were home. They were very aggressive. Got to the line a lot more than we did, much like game two. You know, so we got to try to build a wall somehow, some way, and try to limit, you know, know, the guys from scoring.
And that's really all you can do. And talking about DA, DA did get one foul that I think as a young guy, he didn't think about it. You have three fouls. Fouling Giannis or contesting that shot when you knew how they were blowing the whistle, just let him get the 2 points. You're more valuable on the court than 2 points. And he's hitting his free throws anyway. You're more valuable. Sometimes you got to live to fight another day. It's like when you get dunked on. You got to make a business decision. You got to make a business decision. Chris talked about DA's foul trouble.
Keep playing. You know, sometimes you're going to get a good whistle. Sometimes you're going to get a bad whistle. But he's playing hard. You know what I mean? That's a talent in itself. And then tough, man. Giannis coming at you full speed like a running back. You know what I mean? So he's trying to put his hands up. It's tough.
Yeah, and then he talks about how they have to do a better job of protecting DA as well when he's getting in foul trouble and things that they can do.
I mean, he's a big part of our team, especially he's the anchor of our defense. You know what I mean? I feel like any team would love for him not to be on the court offensively and defensively. So, we got to protect him better, you know, and make sure that we're showing that wall.
Just as a side note, Chris Paul is now on games, playoff games he's played. He is now 0-12 when Scott Foster referees the game. Like I said, I don't have to say anymore, do I? You make that analogy yourself. You let the games play in your mind how you want them to. How you want them to. We'll talk more about this tomorrow. NBA had a day off today. We have more sound from for you tomorrow based on when the meetings are. Also, as a special treat for everyone, we will have sounds from the WNBA All-Star Game. That comes up later this week. The baseball All-Star Game is that. There's so much to get into, so much stuff that we try to provide you with here as we are fortunate to have coverage just about everything that is in the world of sports. We come back, we should have the one and only intern Ryan will be joining us, talking about Conor McGregor getting his ass tore down. Can't wait. Rarely do we talk MMA, so I'm actually geeked for this. All that right here on the Cave Show, the PLR. This is PLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
Hey, this is Mikal Bridges with the Phoenix Suns. I'm in a cave with PLR.
Welcome back to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Thank you for checking us out today, the 12th of July. Oh, my goodness. So much craziness going on in the world of sports around us. So much fun to be a part of it. Make sure you're following us on social media at Sports Cave, on the Twitter, the Instagram, and the Facebook. SportsCave.com is the website. Again, remember, Cave is always with the Cave everywhere. And you get me directly on sports, on the Twitter at PLR on sports. And then make sure you download our app over on Spotify and iHeartRadio. The Cave Show is brought to you by thesportscave.com. So, like I said, rarely do I get to talk MMA. And when I do, I bring on an expert that I know very, very well. He's my guy. Always good to get caught up with him. It's been a long time. It's been forever. He will always be known to all you guys as Intern Ryan. He's almost like Stanford Steve on SVP. He's Intern Ryan. My man, it's been forever. What's going on?
What's going on, man? It's good to be on the show. Thanks so much for having me. Just living my life, man, having a good time.
You're always living your life, having a good time. That's the best part of knowing young cats like you. I love seeing some of your predictions on Facebook. Sometimes I just shake my head. But you're young, and you're in your analytics. You got to do what you got to do, so I let it go.
Fair enough.
So, listen, I know you know MMA better than anybody I know that knows MMA. So I got to ask you, I'm going to come right out with it. Is it time for Conor McGregor to hang it up?
Is it time for Conor McGregor to hang it up? You know what, Paul? I think that, you know, he turns 33 on July 14th. He's had two ACL injuries and now a broken tibia. He went through two wars with Nate Diaz. His calf was obliterated. He got KO'd by Poirier in their second fight last January. I'm just saying he's no spring chicken, but Paul, he's not old by UFC standards. I mean, Kamaru Usman, welterweight champion, 34. Habib Nurmagomedov was 32. Ngannou, heavyweight champ, 34. 32, the featherweight champ, Volkanovski, 32. So he's not exactly old, Paul. It's not like he's, maybe in NFL terms he would be, but UFC standard, he's not old.
I'm not saying he should retire because he's old. I'm saying I think he should retire for two reasons. One, it doesn't seem like the hunger is there like it used to be because he's now got money in the bank. And we all eat differently when we're full than we do when we're hungry. I think when you're full, you eat because the food is there. When you're hungry, you want to eat because the food isn't there. So I think that's one. And two, he's gotten his ass kicked three of the four last time we saw him fight. And one of the times he fought a bum. I mean, and his only victory. That's why I'm saying it's the top of him to hang it up.
Yeah, I see, you know, listen, today's Conor. I'll say this. Today's Conor seems like a shell of his former self. I see a man who has achieved it all, yet, again, he's lost the magic that once made him seem like a god. I see a man that is desperate to try to recapture that magic, but is going about it in all the wrong ways, Paul. He's sounding forced and cringy instead of poetic and confident. He's lost a lot of credibility. But in terms of hanging it up, I don't think all hope is lost for him, Paul. I don't think all hope is lost. I think it would take him rediscovering who he used to be in order to gain back some of that magic that he lost.
Can you rediscover it, though, when you have money? And I don't mean it like that, because there are athletes with money, don't get me wrong. But it's different when you're in this sport. He, in one night, made $100 million fighting Floyd Mayweather. $100 million. Mm-hmm. He's set for life. He has his whiskey brand. He has all this stuff going for him, positively, on the money side. Isn't it hard to get back in the octagon and take elbows for, like, $8 million when you once – I took punches only for $100?
I think it has to be hard, and I think that in order for him to turn it around and to kind of recapture that magic – he would really need to go back and dig deep and figure out what it was and get hungry again. He would need to get out of the mansion. He would need to make himself uncomfortable and put himself in uncomfortable situations, spend time away from his family. There's a lot of sacrifices and significant life changes that he would have to make in order to go back to that place where he had all that fire and all that magic and mojo. And unless he's willing to do that, I don't think things are going to get better for Conor McGregor.
You remember a long time ago, I shouldn't say a long time ago, but it really was, you were on air and it was after Ronda Rousey got her ass kicked the second time. And I said to you, a bully is only a bully until people get tired of being bullied. And so with her, we saw her finally get her ass kicked, and she kind of disappeared. And that's mental stuff, so I'm not going to attack her for that. But then she came back and she did it again. And then she left again, and it was no fun now because the one – and I hate to call her this, but the one-trick pony that she was, once someone figured that out, she no longer could use that one trick. Mike Tyson was the same way, and I'm a Mike Tyson fan. But once he got knocked out, people were no longer afraid. Poirier has shown us, Diaz has shown us, mm-hmm. and Khabib has shown us, look, this dude ain't that good. He had a trick, but we're good at this sport. And now mm-hmm. he can kick his ass. So we're not afraid of him. Doesn't that take away a lot? Because the guys that he should be fighting in terms of his stature aren't afraid of him, and the guys that he can fight and beat are the also-rans. Isn't that a problem?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think it's absolutely a problem. I think, it started when he lost to Nate Diaz. But the thing is that, he was so polarizing, and he hadn't really lost, Paul. He hadn't lost until he fought Nate Diaz. And then when that happened, I think things started to unravel. And because prior to that, he was calling his shots. He was finishing people, finishing everybody, calling mm-hmm. out exactly when he was going to do it, what round, how he was going to do it. And it happened. I mean, he lost to Diaz, the magic started to fade. And the second fight he won, but that was controversial. Then the stuff with Floyd, and he said all this stuff, I'm going to beat Floyd, didn't happen. Khabib, the trash talk was crazy and personal, and he said all this stuff about Khabib. He was drunk on whiskey and then got, obviously we saw what happened there. And then he's nice with Poirier, and he's nice with Cerrone. So it's just a lot of inconsistencies, lost credibility, and yeah, no one's scared of him anymore because, he says, oh, I'm going to do this to you, I'm going to do that to you. But, I think they all know now. It used to be to a point where he would actually do it. But now, maybe it's the money. Who knows what it is. But he's not following through on what he said he's going to do. The credibility is gone. So, therefore, the aura Poirier was talking about in the press conference. He's like, I just see a man now. I don't really see that mythical aura that he saw the first time. And that's really what Conor is. I read on ESPN, Paul, someone said it best. He's all sizzle and the steak is chewed up. And I think that really describes perfectly what's going on here.
Hanging out with me today is my guy, intern Ryan. Ryan, I've got to ask this man. When he's in the ring and he has the broken leg and he's yelling across the ring and he's doing all this fucking and he's saying your wife slides in my DM, does that make you want to watch him fight again, or do you shake your head with embarrassment? And I don't know if you've seen this movie, but like in Training Day when Denzel Washington is yelling, oh, I ought to come back and burn this down, and everyone's just walking away now because they're like, dude, you just got humbled. We're no longer in fear of you. Does it make you want to watch him fight when he's yelling your wife is sliding in my DMs?
It's funny, Paul. Ronda Rousey actually tweeted about this and gave Conor kudos for like basically trying to promote the next fight as soon as he was on the ground and doing all that stuff. I think honestly, it's a lot of it as a Conor fan. It's very cringe, as I was saying before. It's not. He used to be able to like trash talk, kind of like Muhammad Ali esque, dare I say that, and he was very poetic with what he was saying. Now it's just kind of it feels like forced, and just it feels like he's trying too hard. And doesn't really – he's kind of struggling with, oh, am I going to be nice? Am I going to be mean? Am I going to trash talk? Am I not going to trash talk? He's a polarizing guy, and I think that he feels and I understand that he feels that it was not a legitimate win, and that's why he's talking trash. He doesn't feel like the rivalry is over. Dustin doesn't feel like the rivalry is over. This rivalry is not over, according to these two men. So I think that, it's a combination of him trying to market the next fight, trying to, create the image that, hey, listen, this was not a legitimate victory. As far as I'm concerned, we're still at war. You haven't won this battle. It's not. He said this is not over. So that's how I feel about it. I think it's cringe, but I see what he's trying to do.
Okay, so I'm not always the biggest MMA guy, but I saw that first round. What did you see in the first round? Maybe that I didn't. That would tell me it's not over because I saw the fight 6-7 months ago.
Yeah.
Whatever it was. And he got worked. And in the first round, maybe my eyes are deceiving me, but that blood was coming from his ears, and he was getting his ass kicked again. So what
okay.
are my eyes
yeah.
seeing that is saying this isn't over? Because the last two times I saw you fight this dude, he beat your ass.
Yeah. I mean, well, Paul, facts are facts. Two judges had scored the fight 10-8 for Poirier in the first round. The other guy was a 10-9 also for Poirier. Funny enough, Conor's coach, head coach John Kavanaugh, said he actually was very happy with how the fight was going, saying, I think with a few minor adjustments, he felt they were on track for a finish. Conor did well in the opening minutes of the fight, like he usually does. After that, I don't understand what happened. I think what happened was he must have gotten clipped and panic shot like he did in the first Diaz fight, but I was very surprised that he tried to jump the guillotine for several reasons. You know, Dustin's very good on the ground. Guillotine's probably Dustin's best move on the ground. He almost submitted Khabib with it, and that's saying a lot. So while you try to do that to someone with their best move, kind of a head-scratcher. And third, earlier in the week, Conor was telling Stephen A. Smith, my record's 19-1 because I only count knockouts. Well, if that's true, wouldn't submitting Dustin not count as a victory, according to his own words? But, I mean, most people, Paul, would consider Conor to be a two-round fighter. I do think historically there's an element of truth to that. He does perform very well in the first rounds as compared to the later rounds. I didn't score at 10-8, Paul. I didn't think he was getting that beat up. If you watch the Mendez fight back from 2015, I understand it's not Poirier, it's Mendez, and this is 5-6 years ago. He got pieced up on the ground on that fight and finished Mendez. Again, they're two different fighters, two different times, but that's happened to him before, and he has rallied back from it. I would have loved to have seen him in round two. I didn't think it was a 10-8 round. I think he did some solid stuff in the beginning, throwing leg kicks like he did when he was taking over the game back a couple years ago. Didn't see that much in the first fight. I didn't think he was doing that poorly, Paul. I think, I would have loved to have seen a second round, but I'll say that he was facing an uphill battle with those 10-8 score rounds. He would have needed to get a finish in order to win that fight, and it most likely would have happened in the second round considering his history. So he faced an uphill battle, but I don't think the fight was over by any means. And I don't think it was a 10-8 round, but he definitely, he got pieced up, but, nothing new.
You're like I said, you know more about MMA than anybody I know. And would you, as a UFC fan, as an MMA fan, as a Conor fan, is he still the guy? I mean, is he still the guy that people should pay 70, 80, 90 bucks for to watch fight? And let me say it like this. If his name was Stan Blitznick after his last four fights, would you pay to watch him fight? Or would you only pay because of the name recognition?
100%, you're only paying because he's Conor McGregor at this point. If he rediscovers himself, absolutely. He only needs one or two wins. If he were to go out, recover, fight a guy like Nate Diaz, win, and then fight a guy like Justin Gaethje, for example, and beat him as well, he's back. He's back, and he deserves a title shot. But right now, as of this moment, no. I mean, he is not a guy. He hasn't proved it on any merit at all lately. And he's a very entertaining guy, and also a very dangerous striker, as always. But he needs to rediscover who he once was. And right now, he's just, again, like ESPN said, he's sizzled. But I the stake just isn't really there.
Last question. I got a different topic for you. Last question. Would you, if you're Conor McGregor and you got all the money in the world and you're set now for life, you've got success outside without getting your head kicked in or elbowed in, and you took an injury and you took some bad losses, what is what is the fire now to make you do something that you haven't done your last four fights?
I think that Conor is never going to – honestly, I believe he's never going to fight in the octagon again, to be honest with you. That's just my prediction.
Wow.
Because at this point, Paul, you have to – he really needs to sit down and start thinking about how he's going to be remembered in his legacy. And, he's at a point now where if he leaves now, he can leave with some dignity. But if one or two more losses in a row, his career narrative starts to change a little bit. So I think if he's going to come back, he needs to do 110%. He needs to get back to who he was. And if not, I think he should just hang it up. Because this is his legacy we're talking about now. And with every loss, the magic is just going away and away and away, and it's getting tarnished. And it's just – it's hard to watch that happen. So that's my take on that. And I don't think we'll ever see him fight again. But if we do, I wouldn't be shocked. But,
So I got to ask you this because I'm asking everyone that comes on over the next couple of weeks. With the Olympics happening, I know there's basketball, I know there's soccer, I know there's golfing and track and field. Those are the glory sports. Name a sport that you watch only because it's the Olympics and that you'll be watching and you'll be sitting there and it'll be like 1 a.m. and you'll be up and you're like, why the hell am I watching this? But you can't turn the TV off. What's your Olympic summer guilty sports?
Honestly, none of them. Honestly, I really wish I could say none of them because, well, you know, I mean, I would say USA basketball. I mean, we just lost to Nigeria, so I'm like, okay, well, maybe we won't win this whole tournament. I don't know, but you know, I would have said basketball. You know, honestly, if you asked me, you know, 4 years ago or whatnot, you know, or when LeBron was playing, but it's just at this point, nothing's really exciting me, honestly, with the Olympics. I'm not. There's nothing that really gets me, you know, excited. It's just, you know, I don't know. That's just me. I mean,
you mean to tell me you don't get into gold medal ping pong? What is wrong with you?
No, man, not gold medal ping pong. I mean, you know what? Maybe actually, I'll say this. Maybe ice hockey. Honestly, if the USA were playing in the final game, in the gold medal game for ice, I might do ice hockey. But the Canada is just so stacked and it's just crazy. But I would say if it was going to be anything, I would say men's ice hockey.
Okay, so I got to get you out of the Big Four stuff, the basketball, the hockey. I got to get you out of that. Sit down and watch cycling, and I don't mean the long distance stuff. I mean the stuff around that tight track where the guys are like 6'4" and their legs are like 6'2", and it looks like their seat is up too high. That crap is great. Great. I'm going to text you when it starts. And I'm gonna say, Ryan, you've got to give it 5 minutes. You'll never watch it all for the next 4 years. But 5 minutes of it, you will actually buy in. Trust me.
All right, man.
Yo, man, I appreciate you taking the time, talking to me. Like I said, if I got to talk it, I got to talk it with the best, and you are definitely the man with that, so I appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks, man. Anytime, of course.
All right, buddy. I'll catch up, and much love to you and the family.
Thank you, man. You too. Take care.
All right, buddy. Later. That's my guy. He will always be known as intern Ryan. He is the guy. Listen, I'm really honest on this Olympic thing. I really am. And I don't get how nobody else is getting down with this. It is so easy to pick, you know, softball and basketball and boxing and all that stuff. But who's not getting down with canoeing? The slalom and canoeing? Who's not getting down with that? That this stuff is great. The Summer Olympics are fun. And let's even switch to winter for a second. I don't watch bobsledding trials. Bobsled event in the Winter Olympics is must-watch TV. Ping pong, I mean table tennis, is must-watch TV. It truly is. And if you turn the weight, when weightlifting is on, and these guys are throwing 38,000 pounds above their head, and they're screaming like every part of their body hurts, and then they just drop it on the ground, and everyone sitting in their seats just pop up and pop back down, do you not get into this? Everyone that's on the show this weekend, I'm going to ask you, what is your off-the-beaten-path Summer Olympic guilty pleasure? So in the home run derby tonight, it's so easy to pick Shohei Ohtani. I'm not. I'm going with the hometown guy, Trevor Story. And I'm doing it just to be different. No rhyme, no reason, no nothing. I just think hometown dudes always do well in this event. Either way, I definitely will be watching. We have the one and only Cuban Cowboy out in Colorado, so he'll be with us either tomorrow or Thursday. Wednesday show will be a best of, so he'll either be with us tomorrow or Thursday to get into everything. just fun. Just out and out fun. Can't wait for the Olympics. So last bit on the Suns, real quick. Just want to touch on this before I go switching gears. Isn't that the saying? You're supposed to say when you're a sports talk radio, when you go from one thing to the other, you got to say switching gears. So switching gears back to this. I think Wednesday's game will be the best game of the series thus far. I think it will be the most well-played game of the series thus far. Because the series now breaks one of two ways, and the identity of the series will come out on Wednesday. Either you will have a team going home to win a title, or you will have a team going on a road with new life saying, if we steal this game, we then go home for a title. So I think you will get everyone's best punch. That's why we watch the game, right? Can't wait. Anyway, make sure you're checking us out. Like I said, Spotify, iHeartRadio, The Cave Show is brought to you by thesportscave.com. Follow us on social media at The Sports Cave. Cave is with the K. Cave is always with a K. Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. You get me on the Twitter direct at PLR on Sports. And check out our website, thesportscave.com. Again, Cave is with the K. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Caller, thank you. Intern Ryan, always great. Catch up with you, my man. Big Connor fan, kind of got his ass kicked. I'm interested to see where his career goes from here. Anyway, until tomorrow, everyone, take care of themselves. Be safe. Thank you for joining us. I really appreciate you. This has been The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Temps, bring us home.